Deontay Craig joins the show, another recent Hawkeye graduate. One of the most enjoyable episodes that I personally have ever done. You can feel the energy and the good vibes with this guy when you talk to him. Amazing story. Another one of those guys that you listen to and just think, man, they pump out good football players, but Iowa knows how to produce good people. Pleasure to talk to Deontay. You're going to love it as well. Let's have a day. Let's go. Wash Up Walk-Ons podcast, blessed to be joined by Deontay Craig. The W has joined the show. Let's go. Where did that happen? Where did that start, man?
The first one was Michigan State two seasons ago. We started off that season 3-0, beat Iowa State, had a couple dominant non-conference wins. Week four, we went on the road to Penn State, wideout game, prime time, got our butts kicked. So had an opportunity to come back home the following week. Wore the blackout unis, playing a good Michigan State team. It was a really, really hard fought game. So I think that like outro video, highlight tape, whatever, I think you saw a lot of emotion from a bunch of guys, just coming back from the beatdown that we took the week earlier and, figuring out a way to come out with a W and beat a really good team. So, I don't know. The camera just found me. That was just natural. Like, I hadn't planned it or anything. It just kind of one thing led to another. And then next thing you knew, like, it was getting reposted everywhere. And Hawkeye Football posted a separate video. And then after every win after that, people were just running with it. So
I was going to say, it stuck.
Yeah, it did for sure. It kind of fell off a little bit towards the end of this season, but like still, like when I was walking into the games or if I'd run into people in public, like they'd throw up the W.
Would they really?
Yeah, it was cool. It was a thing for a little bit. So
I love that.
It was fun. I'm glad people caught on to it and the fan base had some fun with it.
It's a little more serious in the moment, but this sounds like a much better idea now than it would during the season. But like, it would have been kind of a little bit of comedic relief after a loss to like to really cut the tension. If you were like real sad walking into the locker room and they got you just going like, yeah, we took the L.
Yeah, I maybe, but I don't know.
I know at the time. Yeah.
After a loss, yeah. I'm pretty – I don't think too many people want to be around me.
No.
So I'll just leave it at that.
No, my wife still – you know what? Actually, it was to Penn State. My senior year, we lost a bad ending. I don't know. You probably have seen the tape at some point when you were studying, but they drove the field on us. Mm-hmm. Amani Hooker.
Oh, just, was this what 2019 or
was no? It, this was 2017.
Okay, this was at Penn State or was
no,
it?
No,
yeah,
no.
I know exactly. Last play of the game. Yeah,
yeah. Oh, right over Hook's hands. Yeah. I mean, we're like 2 inches from tipping it, and if we tip this pass, it's game. Like,
yeah.
But they drove the field. They score a touchdown. Their quarterback, Trace McSorley. I don't know if he's still in the league or not. He punts the ball. Like just at midfield, they celebrate, and my wife still to this day is like, I've never seen you not want to be around like me or your family or anybody that bad. Like, and I was a long snapper, so if I took it hard, like the other guys are taking it hard. So I totally understand that. Being cool with throwing up an L after you just took an L is it's not realistic, but it would have been kind of funny.
It would have been. Coach Parker, we would have had to hide it from him, though.
Oh, God. Bro. Man, you said the camera found you. I feel like the camera found you a lot. Like, you seem like a pretty – your energy I don't know you. This is the first time we've ever talked in person, but I feel like you're an energy guy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not – like, in the heat of the moment, like, during games and like practice and lift. I'm normally pretty laid back. I kind of try to reserve all that energy for like the post game, like the celebration. So that's why you kind of see that like outburst of energy, you know, after winning a game, regardless of the score. Like it's hard to win. And, you know, you guys know, like everything we put in on a day-to-day basis, week-to-week basis, like it's tough. So whenever you can win a game, and then that first W, like the blackout uniforms, like blackout and Kinnick, like it got no better than that. So, yeah, I'm pretty reserved and laid back. But, you know, after games and, you know, when I'm out there on the field, like the expression, the excitement you see, that's legit.
The I completely understand the emotional part of what you mentioned coming back to that game specifically. Mm-hmm. I didn't plan on starting here either, but this is a great conversation. The year before we lost to that Penn State story I told, we played Penn State at Penn State.
Yeah.
Similar to you guys. This was 2016. They dog walked us. I mean, it wasn't even close. Like it was like they were playing a D2 team that night. We got ran out the building in a whiteout. We got the full treatment, man. Mm-hmm. And turning point of the season. That next week is the week that we kicked Keith Duncan kicks the field goal to beat Michigan. Mm-hmm. In Kinnick. So,
yeah. KS so that before.
similar sort of situation where our backs were against the wall. Mm-hmm. Like, and it was emotional to then come back and stand up and, you know, Michigan was number 3 in the country, I think. So, 12 opportunities every season. And it is like, you get very few chances to go show what you're working for all season long.
Yeah.
And it's just, it all comes out. It feels so good to win. You said how hard it is to win. You can tell me I'm wrong, but I think people don't quite understand how hard it is to win.
Yeah, they don't understand. They don't. They just, I mean, that's the part, like, I think social media and media in general is that it's a blessing and a curse. Like, obviously, you see the win, you know, people are just assuming everything is flowing smooth on the inside. Like, guys are happy. Like, everybody's calm and everything's perfect. And then, you know, when you lose, now all the sky is falling. Like, he doesn't need to be playing. He doesn't need to be coaching, blah, blah, blah. But, like, I think a lot of people get it confused, and they think, like, when you win, it's hard. But I feel like they get it confused with, like, some monumental, like, oh, it took all this and that, like, all this different special stuff. But, like, it's literally just showing up and paying attention and going out and just competing your butt off. Like, that's really what it comes down to. But, yeah, man, it's a lot. I talk to my friends. Like, I'm not going to put anybody on the spot. But, like, I talk to people who think, like, us football players are, like, spoiled and brats and, like, rotten. I'm like, dude, you have, like, no idea what we go through on a day-to-day basis. Like, even our off days aren't off days because we're still watching film, going to get treatment, like, doing scouting on the other team. Like, it's crazy. It's a lot goes into it. But at the end of the day, that's what makes it fun. That's what makes it worth it. Because, you know, you got 100-plus guys doing the same thing, all bought into the same vision with you.
And to be fair, there's an amount of spoiling, right?
Just a little.
But it's earned.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
so, sure.
Yes, we get fed meals. Like, yes, there's a scholarship check. Yeah, all the down the line, right? Check, check, check. You know, you can walk out of the complex with 6 protein shakes and a sandwich and all this stuff, right? But, like, you don't just get that, right?
Yeah.
Like, you have to – there's work that has to be done on the other side of it to, like, be a part of it and still earn all that. So and it's almost in a way, like, the way to buffer the fact that you basically have a full-time job in football and then the student part on top of it. So I totally understand. It's funny, and you may have friends or family like this too. Like, you know, you're getting ready for, like, I don't know, Rutgers or somebody – and they're like, oh, you guys are so win this week, right? Like, you guys, like, this week ain't that hard. like, okay, like, what? No,
yeah,
that's not how it works.
It's tough. I think sometimes it's like human nature. like to get caught up in somebody's record. Like, look at us this past year. Like UCLA, we went out there and they were like 3 games under .500 at the time, and like kicked our butts. Like the score was closer than, you know, what the film and the stats from the game said. And I think our coaches, you know, that game was standing. Like, our coaches do a good job of giving each opponent the proper respect, and, you know, trying to instill that in us. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's on us. And I think that's just a credit to the guys we have in the building, that, like, regardless of who we're playing, like, we just treat it like it's a national championship. Like, there's no big games. Like, you know, obviously there's games when you get towards the end of the season that mean a little bit more, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's one game at a time. And, you know, everybody's a tough opponent because, you know, everybody's putting in just as much work as you are to try to win a game. So definitely can't look past anybody, especially in the Big Ten. So,
yeah. Yeah. That UCLA game is an interesting example. I have a feeling that y'all on the inside knew just how difficult that game was going to be.
Yeah. It was, you know, Eric Bieniemy, long Super Bowl champion, offensive coordinator, you know, coached arguably one of the top two greatest quarterbacks players in the NFL. And then the atmosphere, like, we're going across two time zones, playing a Friday night game, a short week of prep, and you're in a historic stadium. So, like, as much as people might overlook that, like, I'm not gonna lie, like, looking back, I was like starstruck. I'm like, wow, like, we're really playing in the Rose Bowl. Like, that was crazy. Like, from Indiana, like, you grow up watching the Rose Bowl every New Year's Day, and, you know, that was definitely like a bucket list stadium that I wanted to play in. But I mean, yeah, I mean, UCLA, like, ton of great athletes. You know, they have a former player as their coach, so, you know, that program's, you know, he's instilled what it means to be a Bruin out there. But yeah, we knew, regardless of what the outside world was saying, like, we knew it was going to be tough, you know, logistically and schematically. And I mean, it's sometimes
they were rolling at the time.
Yeah, too. We caught them. I think they had just, they were like 3-6 or 2-6 or something like that. And then they won.
I think they won out.
I think they won out and went to a bowl game, and they like went on the road, beat Nebraska. I can't remember when they played Rutgers, but I think they played
Oregon tough.
Yeah, they played Oregon. Like, everybody they played was a pretty tight game. So, you know, sometimes you just take one on the chin, and, you know, unfortunately that night we took a big one on the chin. So,
yeah, happens. Yeah. I also took one on the chin. Compliments of Christian McCaffrey in the Rose Bowl. So yeah, it's all right.
It's funny, that was before I took my official visit here in June of 2019, and obviously take away like the recruiting and like that stuff. My only impression of Iowa football was that 2015 Rose Bowl game.
Yep.
And like, I remember I was sitting in my living room watching it. And I'm like, first play, I think you guys are running Bears or Bison, one of the two, and somebody got out of their zone and
gone. Okay.
No, straight to the house.
Gone. Bro. That, you've never felt the wind get sucked out of a place so quick, man. It was,
oh yeah,
that was tough. Cool place to play though, man. Like, it is a sick place. And I totally understand. Like, it is tough. Wait, did you guys find that it's hard to explain, like, the time travel thing?
Mm-hmm.
Time travel? Sorry.
That is a weird way to say it. Yeah. Deontay and the boys got in a spaceship and time traveled to California.
That'd be cool.
Friday night, yeah, it was just a weird situation of, like, it just throws off the routine, and it's just – everything's just a little bit different, and when it's 1% different for everybody, that's all it takes. Like, it really is that
slim mark. I think we're a little bit comfortable because – KF, and obviously, you know, credit to him, we were obviously really thankful, but all the seniors had like the reclining seats,
No.
On the plane when we flew up there.
Bro.
So we were like laid back, like blankets, pillows, like all kinds of stuff. So I don't think I'm wrong in saying there was definitely a limit. And plus, like, you're flying in, you see the Hollywood sign, you see crypto, like Dodger Stadium. Like, there's definitely a sense of, you know, comfortability there for sure. So you never want to make excuses, but I think there was a reason, like, only a handful of Big Ten teams came from the Midwest and went out West Coast or vice versa.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a coincidence only a handful won those cross-country games.
I don't remember looking at the end of the year record on those travel games, but early on, or like halfway through, it was something.
It was rough. Yeah.
It was bad. It was like 2-4.
Like an 0-9 start from like time zone travel. It
was like 2-14 at one point. The team that was traveling the two time zones was 2-14.
Yeah, I think Minnesota and Indiana both went out to UCLA and won.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know UCLA came to Nebraska and won.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the only three I can think of.
It might be it. Might be it. I mean, Ohio State went to Oregon.
Yeah, they ended up losing that. Oh, Oregon came to Wisconsin later in the season and won.
Okay.
So there's four. But Washington came to Penn State, lost. They came here, lost. Went to Indiana, lost. Maryland went to Oregon, lost.
You got a good memory.
Yeah. A lot of film.
Didn't Washington play Rutgers or something like six overtimes on a Friday night or something crazy?
Yes, Rutgers went to Washington, I believe.
Okay.
Wow. That's crazy.
It doesn't matter, but
how'd you mentioned the recruiting process a little bit. How did KF and the squad in Iowa City get Deontay Craig in the black and gold?
So originally, because Iowa came into the picture kind of late. And, you know, I think Coach Bell and Coach Ferentz had a vision on how they wanted to recruit me. And that's ultimately, like, one of the reasons why it really stuck out here. From, like, the first text message, Coach Bell was, like, straight up. He was like, look, I'm not going to offer you until I meet you in person and, like, get a chance to talk to you face-to-face. And I was like, okay, like, I'm not really tripping. And that was, like, maybe, like, because he offered me my junior year. So that was like, just like maybe like May summer. Or so of 20. Yeah.
May or summer going into your junior year?
Yeah. They started recruiting me that following year. So I think it might have been like towards the end of 2018 was when I like first started hearing from them, and then got the offer in May. And then took my official in June. And it's crazy because for as long as like they made me wait, which again, like I didn't have a problem with because I wasn't trying to rush to make a decision anyway. I left my official and I was like, hey, coach, like I'm ready to commit right now. Like there were a bunch of dudes on the visit with me all committed. And I was like, yeah, like this is where I want to be. But I took some time, slept on it. And a couple of days later, I hit him back and I was like, hey, coach, like, I think I need to take a break. And he was honest. Like, he was like, look, like, I'm still going to be looking, but, you know, we want you here and we'll respect your time and stuff. So a couple months later, it ultimately came down to Iowa, Indiana, and then Tennessee. And, you know, at the time, Tennessee was going through that scandal and with the coach and everything. So I didn't want to go that route.
Were you fed McDonald's while being recruited by Tennessee?
Nah, I wasn't.
No, you didn't get no McDonald's bag?
No, I wasn't fed McDonald's. But I won't go into detail, but, you know, looking back on it, I was, yeah. So.
Yeah. All right. Hey, that's all we need to know.
So, yeah.
Hey, before you continue real quick, I think I was unfamiliar with your game. Bro, like Ohio State, Notre Dame, Michigan?
Yeah.
All three offered you?
Yeah, I had.
And the Hawks brought it home?
Yeah, I had a pretty – I think, you know, when you get into recruiting, you find out a lot about people and yourself, honestly. I think now it's different. It feels weird saying it's different than when I was young, because like it was literally only like 4 or 5 years ago. But now it feels like college football has totally changed from when before I got into it. But I think like kids are just so obsessed with like the logo and the promises that come along with some of these coaches. And when you go on these visits, like you only see the good side of things. Where like,
of course,
like I had schools tell me like, look, you're our number one guy. And then 2 days later, somebody else commits. And now I could come compete for a walk-on spot. So it's like, you know, you find out real quick who's really interested and who's really invested. And Iowa just stayed consistent. They didn't, you know, bug me. I mean, you hate to say it, but like some of these coaches out here just don't know when to quit. And
are they really annoying like that?
Yeah, it's there. I had a school that was recruiting me. Like every day they had a coach call me, and it was just like in rotation. And it's like, dude, like
I say, they're running out of coaches. At some point? Like, are they hiring people just to call you?
My day is like pretty consistent. Like there's no reason you calling every day isn't going to rush me to make a decision. So, but yeah, Iowa gave me my space. They were available with questions and resources, and you know, it just was consistent throughout, and I really appreciate that, and that stood out to my parents and everything. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of those offers were there, but you know, I landed where I was supposed to, and you know, Iowa was definitely the best decision.
Was there ever a moment in Iowa City where you thought, "Damn, I should have been a Buckeye"? Should have been like, did you ever have one of those where did you ever second guess it?
Nah, I mean, I'm normally not the type. I try not to live with regrets. You know, obviously, not every decision you're going to make is perfect. So, at the end of the day, you got to live with what you decide. But I loved it there. Honestly, I love the coaches. I love the guys I got to play with. You know, I love all the friendships and the people that I've made in my 5 years here. You know, the grass ain't always greener. So I was fully invested, and you know, every day I woke up, I was just focused on being the best Hawkeye I could be.
Do you get the sense now, older, wiser, you know, you're now looking at potential at the next level, that you know other guys that go to other schools, you know, from your area or whatever, and you get the sense, and again, biased guy asking another biased guy, that Iowa just does it differently than a lot of places?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. And I think it's hard for a lot of people. I think people see Iowa and they don't view us as like what a top-tier program yet. We're consistently a 10-win team. We consistently have first-round picks, first-team All-Americans, all Big Tens. Teams are flooded with Iowa players. Like, I don't understand why, but I mean, it takes a special type of person to come in here and, you know, wait your turn as a freshman and, you know, be okay with only getting a few snaps a game your second or third year here. And, you know, finally, when you're a senior or fifth year guy, like getting your opportunity and running with it. Like, I think sticking to that course, stands out a lot more than, you know, jumping ship early and trying to go chase a check somewhere else. So, I mean, you look at guys that come and go from this program, like, oh, the coach doesn't like me, coach this, coach that, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, what are you doing to make the coach feel that way about you? Like, I feel like people are too quick to just point the finger instead of, like, looking in the mirror and seeing how they can be better. But I mean, yeah, our coaches say it all the time. Like, Iowa's tough. Like, it's not supposed to be. We don't have the 4-2, the 5-star guys that can, you know, go out there and do a bunch of crazy stuff that you might see on ESPN or SportsCenter or whatnot. But we got hard-nosed guys who come to work and, you know, they know how to compete and they just love to play ball.
It's the mannequin guys. KF always talked about it. It's when they when we played Penn State or Michigan, it's like, yeah, they're gonna look real good in the uniform.
Yeah,
better than us. Wise words there from Deontay. Everybody listening right now, gotta look in the mirror a little bit sometimes. Isn't that right, Grant? Sometimes it's about you.
It's hard to do. It's beneficial.
The everybody wants to play right away, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm I'm getting time my freshman year. It's a bit of a crazy. I understand it. I came in 2013, and there was a couple guys in our class that had that mentality. Mm-hmm. One of them happened to be Desmond King, and he was right. Right, yeah. Every once in a while, you get one.
Yeah.
Cooper Flagg, he's just that guy.
Yeah.
Most people aren't that dude. And
yeah, absolutely. I mean, I played with Dane Belton. I don't know if he started from day one, but towards the end of that 2019 season, he was starting. Tyler Goodson played with him. I know I'm forgetting a couple guys like Xavier Wampa, Cooper DeJean. Like, they were special teams guys, but still, like, you guys know how huge that side of the football is for us.
Cooper's doing all right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, so it's guys like Connor Colby who stepped in and played a little bit his freshman year.
Yeah.
It's obviously like you've achieved part of your dream. Like, you know, when you're playing ball in middle school, high school, like you hope you can get good enough to play at the college level. So, Caleb Johnson, coming in as a true freshman taking over, like, that's what you want. But at the end of the day, I mean, there's no rush, especially when you're a young guy. Like, yeah, of course, if you're gifted enough to pick up on the playbook and physically ready, like the day you step on campus, and that's awesome. Like, that coach deserves a raise. But at the end of the day, like, it's not like you only get one chance to show what you can do. So it's a lot of kids want to jump in the portal and play right away, but it's like, dude, just stick it out. Like, we got – look at the Seth Bensons, the Jack Campbells, the Jay Higgins. Like, you know, the Cooper DeJeans, for that matter. Like, he didn't even start – he didn't even play, like, a lot on defense his freshman year. It's stories like that that make it worth it, and you know, give you that confidence that like all I gotta do is follow the blueprint and I'll be fine.
Yeah, it's just I get it. NIL and the portal makes it real easy, right? And I'm sure you've heard more stories than me and seen it firsthand. It's wild.
Yeah, it's insane.
it's just crazy to think that, like, I mean, you can go get a bag, right? And half of these guys, we never hear about them again.
Yeah.
They get paid. The school's pissed because they don't get what they paid for. And this guy just falls off the map.
It's on to the next. They find somebody else.
Yeah. And then what if you just would have stayed and developed, right? Sometimes I question it. I don't know. Fort Wayne, Indiana, Culver Academies.
Yes.
It's almost my last name. You can switch that around. Culver Academies. Maybe I start that up here in Des Moines, Grant.
That'd be cool.
Was it always the dream? You mentioned, hey, you're a middle school kid. Like, hey, I want to be D1. Were you always a football guy? You play other sports as a young guy? Yeah.
So, I've been playing football and basketball since I was like 3 or 4 years old. Growing up, like, I wanted to be in the NBA. Like, if you would ask me back when I was like 8 or 9 years old, like, I would have told you, like, I'll be playing in the NBA by the time I'm like 22 to 23. Pretty much, I got my first offer the summer before my junior year, and it was football. But I was still like, I got one more summer of AAU basketball. Like, I'm going to give it everything I got, and, yeah, I'm going to try to get some offers. And sure enough, end of that, like, I feel like I balled out, too. But nobody came calling. And then the day before my junior year football game, Tennessee football called and offered me, and I was like, damn, yes, it's looking like it's gonna be football.
It's going a different direction,
you know. So offered me, the game was that next day, so I'm like, you know, I gotta go out and ball out. Like, people are gonna be looking at me like, he got an offer, blah, blah, blah. So went out, did my thing that Friday night. Next morning, Indiana offers me, get off the phone like an hour later, Michigan State calls, offers me, and I'm like, yeah, it's time to focus on football. But I still played basketball, just because it allowed me to, like, stay in shape, and I just love to compete. Like, it would have killed me to sit in the bleachers watching like the basketball team play without me out there. Yeah. Plus, I mean, Iowa, if you look at the roster, like we got guys that are wrestlers, track guys, basketball, baseball, like all kinds of stuff. So I think all that translates. And I think the more you can do, the better that can all help. But yeah, the dream at first was basketball. Like my dad grew up playing basketball. All his brothers did too. And I definitely wanted to do that. But you know, I tell people all the time, like, the more you can do, the more valuable you are. So fortunately, I was able to be good at more sports than just one. And, you know, now I can still chase my dream of being a pro.
I think we all wanted to be LeBron at some point.
I'm a Kobe guy. So
I feel like you could be both. Maybe you can't. Maybe there's competing camp. We all wanted to be Kobe. I grew up obviously older than you. So I was, you shoot the paper ball in the trash can. It was always Kobe, right?
Yeah. I think people still do that though. I don't think that's like an age thing. Like I think I guarantee you can go to a second grade classroom. You throw someone the paper rock or whatever. They'll yell Kobe. I think
they're not Grant. They're not yelling Kobe, bro.
What would they yell? They're not yelling like Devin Booker. Like that doesn't roll at all. Like, why would they, that doesn't make any sense.
Dellavedova.
It's Kobe and that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that allure of the NBA is just something I think everybody thinks they're going to hoop. But did you ever, you guys ever go run it at the rec?
Yeah, we did. Outside of this last year, because it was kind of all of our last season, so we were trying to keep the main thing. But yeah, so my COVID year, so 2020, all the indoor gyms were closed. Like they literally took the rims off, so like people couldn't go in there.
Crazy.
So we stayed in. Was Peterson around when you were a freshman? Or
they were building it.
That dorm behind Peterson, it's the Reno or Slater, one of the two.
The there two was, towers that were Reno and Slater.
There was like an outdoor court right there, and we were playing outdoor pickup. Like because we couldn't get into the gym. But then like as you know, COVID started to go away and things were opening back up, like we were at the rec, we went to Fieldhouse, we were able to get in the Carver and play pickup a bunch of times in there. So
okay.
Yeah, it was a good deal. We got a lot of NBA wannabes on the squad. So
I was gonna ask, can you settle the debate? So we had Nick and Jay on the show. I need to know who is actually better between Jay Higgins and Nick Jackson. Like, who's the better hooper?
Jay is better. All right. Okay. Nick surprised me. I ain't gonna lie. I didn't think he was good at all, but we got out there. We were in Carver, too, and he played pretty well. But I might be a little biased because me and Jay, we've hooped together since we were, like, second, third grade. So I've seen him ball for a long time. I only got to see a couple months of Nick hoop, but I'd have to go with Jay in that one.
Kevin, welcome to the show. I'm sure you were you're either working on solar energy or eating eggs. Our two sponsors tonight, presented by Eagle Point Solar and the Iowa Egg Council.
I was actually cooking my eggs with solar energy, and that's yeah.
Dude, how about that? Yeah. We'll take a quick moment to thank our sponsors before we get back to Deontay and introduce Kevin into the conversation. Eagle Point Solar. One stop shop. They're the full gamut. Let me read it right off their website. Eagle Point Solar of Dubuque leads the way in solar installations in Illinois, Iowa, and Wisconsin. Their solar projects span a large range of applications, including municipal, commercial, residential, academic, agriculture. If there's a building, you can put solar energy on it, Deontay. Did you know that?
Yeah.
You can put it on a chicken coop if you want it, I'm sure.
I need to get some solar panels.
Hell yeah. That's what I'm saying. They're a turnkey contractor. They're there from start to finish. They're going to educate you. They're going to take you through every step of the process. And if they can save you money, they're going to. EaglePointSolar.com. As of now, reading this, you can get the $200 Amazon gift card for doing their free energy solar analysis deal. And you can get that at EaglePointSolar.com. And as Kevin said, he was cooking his I don't know how he's doing it. That'd be a cool contraption. But
do you think you can use that Amazon gift card to buy $200 worth of eggs?
You could buy $200 worth of eggs, Kevin, at not from the Iowa Egg Council, but you're supporting the Iowa Egg Council farmers across the state. I bought eggs today, and the prices are going down. Now, people seem to think it's absurd to spend, you know, $3 on a breakfast, even if you had 5 or 6 eggs. I got 18 today for 6. That means it's like back down to 35, 33 cent per egg range. It's good enough for me. I'm sure Deontay here had plenty of eggs during his time in the career.
I didn't realize, like, that's like a huge thing right now. Like, you obviously, like, are online and, like, you see memes and, like, you see articles about it, but, like, I've been to Target. I went to I was just back in Indianapolis.
Can't find eggs.
Yeah, like I went to what's that place? I went to Trader Joe's. I went to a Waffle House, and there was like
to buy eggs.
A little note on the menu, and it's like every dish that contains eggs, we have to do a 50-cent upcharge due to like a shortage.
Yeah.
Wow, like that's actually really going on right now. So
real thing. What's the order at the Waffle House?
The sausage, egg and cheese, hash brown scramble, with a side of grits and 2 waffles.
Ooh, woof, there you go. That's a heavy meal.
So
he's a big boy. You got to feed himself.
All right. You ever heard of the fantasy football punishment where the Waffle House challenge?
I've heard the punishments, but not the Waffle House.
So the Waffle House challenge is you got to spend 24 hours in a Waffle House, but you get to take off an hour for every waffle that you eat.
Oh, okay. I have.
So how long do you think it would take you before you're allowed to leave?
It's a great question.
All I'm eating.
12 waffles.
That's all you're eating.
Is a pretty admirable goal. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that the waffles, all I'm eating. I don't have to eat anything else.
That's it.
No.
You get coffee if you want.
But. I mean, after about 4 waffles, you might want to eat something else, but you don't get to.
I could probably get. And does it have to be consecutive, or can I like eat one?
Wait, you can take as much time as you want. You're spending 24 hours there. If you eat 0, you spend 2 hours there. If you can eat 22 in 2 hours,
God, I would love to see someone do that.
I'm eating. I'm at least eating one.
I hope
at least one every 30 minutes.
One every 30.
I'm at least getting one every 30 to 45.
Okay. So you're out in
30 minutes would be what, 12 hours?
Yeah.
So two every hour. I'm getting all 24, I guess.
Well, you don't have to. You're gonna at some point you're not gonna eat all 24 because it's gonna take you, you know, you're gonna knock off your time. So by the time you eat like even 10 of them, you're gonna have been there for like 3 hours probably.
You think so?
Bro, these yeah.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
So, if you could eat 20 in 4 hours, then there's your 24.
Then you're done.
Yeah. I'll give myself 12 to 14.
Okay, so you're gonna be there. Good. Yeah, it's tougher than people think. If you're ever bored, Deontay, just search it on YouTube. It's a fantastic watch.
Okay.
People start to hit the wall around 8 or 9 waffles.
8 or 9
those waffles. Those waffles are, man, like that food is so simple, but it's like so good.
It's good.
Every time, because they don't have it in Iowa. So mm-hmm. Fortunately, we've been to Orlando twice. Plenty of waffle houses. Nashville twice. Plenty
little
of waffle
bowl trip
houses.
Waffle. Yeah.
You might have been to the exact Waffle House that Kevin went to. And the first time I ever met Kevin, we went to Waffle House in Nashville. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then he just threw up for like 30 minutes immediately afterwards.
Yeah, it's like we got back to the hotel and I think we were there for 30 minutes and then I started chucking them up.
Yeah.
I hadn't eaten at all that day. So I think I had 2 meals plus like 3 waffles and...
The hotel we stayed at in Nashville, we stayed at like the Opryland. There's literally a Waffle House right across the highway.
That's dangerous.
I can't lie though. 2 or 3 years ago, I think it is now, when we went, I went like 4 or 5 times. Had arguably one of the best games of my career. And this past year, I went like 3 or 4 times. Had probably the best game of my career. So it goes together.
So I'm curious, when you got to get some of your buddies involved and franchise a Waffle House in Iowa City, because I think it do numbies.
I've been ever since 2022, I've been telling guys, like, look, we're making all this money. Like,
can you imagine how many people come out of the bars and like, dude, let's go to Waffle House.
Oh, my God.
To do that. Like, people will drive all the way out to Coralville to go to IHOP. But I'm like, dude, let's put our money together and open one right here in the Ped Mall. Like that will do.
It would It would crush, dude.
They put Poncheros out of business.
Literally.
Man, I'm hungry. Boys, I'm hungry talking about this now.
No disrespect to Poncheros, though, because that's one of my sponsors. So.
They're goated. They're goated.
But Waffle House is up there. It's different.
Talking about all this waffles, eggs, you know, like obviously you had to watch your body weight, maintain some serious mass. It says 249 on the roster, Deontay. What do you weigh? It ain't 249.
So I played probably this past season. I played at like between 265 and 270.
Okay.
I did pro day and I weighed in at 278.8.
Boy.
Yeah. For the next level. Just stuff I've been hearing, like teams want me to put on weight. So now I am currently on the road to like 285, 290.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. But
have you been talking to coaches much throughout the process or scouts?
Back in January, I went to a Senior Bowl game. It's called the Tropical Bowl down in Orlando. Uh-huh. And I met with like 15 teams, pretty like surface level. I had a couple that like wanted to talk X's and O's, but for the most part, like outside of that, and then you know, just high and by to some scouts at pro day, it's been pretty chill, pretty laid back. You know, my agent is hearing some good stuff though, so just keeping fingers crossed one step at a time. Like, this process is, it's stressful, but you know, it's fun, so you just gotta try to enjoy it. And like I said, just have fun with it, because if you stress yourself out, you go crazy.
Absolutely. So I'm curious, in these conversations, are they seeing you more as like a 4-3 end or a 3-4 stand up type guy? Like, what are you?
It's kind of, from what I've heard, I'm getting the consensus that teams want me to kind of play 3-tech inside. Which I don't mind, because, you know, if you look at my film during my time at Iowa, like, I was a guy that I played nose, I played 3-tech, I played crashing, I played heavy 5. Like, I prided myself in knowing every spot up front, because I like standing on the field, and that's an easy cheat sheet to being able to play a lot of snaps and, you know, be out there and try to make a difference. So, I mean, I think just based off like my testing numbers and stuff, it would make sense for me to kind of make that transition. But hopefully I can be in a situation where I can still be versatile and, you know, show off my athleticism and, you know, my football ability.
Totally, man. Yeah, I was just curious, because I, like you said, played a lot of different positions on the line. I could see you playing either or up in the next level. Like, you know, I never would have thought that we'd see like Anthony Nelson standing up and dropping back into coverage, but here he is, and I think he had a pick last year too.
Yeah, he just signed another extension this offseason.
Yeah, he's doing all right. He's doing all right.
Yeah,
a lot of Hawkeyes just got paid.
Yeah, for sure.
Hard to throw over Anthony Nelson. He's like a damn building out there.
And Coach Bell said he had the best pad level he's ever seen, and he's one of the tallest guys he's ever coached. So that's a lot.
If you would have been around Anthony, frustrating guy as a fellow athlete, like, you know, off season competition type stuff.
Yeah.
Frustrating guy to go against, because he was just better than you at everything.
Yeah.
I mean, when he got there, he ran with the skills. Now he was only 240, 250 maybe at the time, but he was running like a deer with the skill position, making skill times.
That's how I felt. You talk about just a guy that's naturally gifted and better than you at everything. That's how I feel about Cooper DeShane. Video games.
Really?
Is he a gamer?
Just every time I've seen him, we've got some guys on the team like TJ Hall and Deshaun Lee. They're he transferred now, but LaShawn Williams, the old running back. Like, we got some pretty competitive gamers on the team, but I haven't seen any of them see Cooper. Like, maybe they beat him, but every time I'm there, all I know is Cooper normally wins.
So is he like one of those annoying dudes that's like it's not his fault, but it's just annoying that he's good at everything? Like, dude, are you bad at anything? It's like
okay, you're in the dorm with him. he beats you 35-0 in Madden. Being like, all right, let's go play pickup. He's running, jumping, dunking, shooting in half court. And then we go out to practice, and he's getting 80-yard pick sixes. And then he goes to the game, birthday, Super Bowl, first pick against Patrick Mahomes.
So dumb.
Touchdown. Like, dude, the stars must have been aligned. I mean, when you were born, like,
do y'all ever think about that? Like, he really is him, though, you know?
I know, like, it's crazy. Like, he's, like, I look at not just him, but, like, guys like a Jack Campbell. Like,
yeah.
Like, coming from Cedar Falls, Iowa, like, turning himself into a top 20 pick. Like, it's crazy. But,
you know, again, Jack's going to be the governor of Iowa someday. You know that?
Yeah, I have no doubt in my mind. And it wouldn't surprise me if he came back to be the linebackers coach once Coach Wallace was going to hang it up.
That could happen, too.
him or Seth, one of the two. It wouldn't surprise me if they came back to coach the linebackers one day.
Talk to me about KB and Seth and all the defensive coaches. What's their lasting impact on you as you head out the door?
Man, I love them. You know, starting with KB, just because, you know, that's the guy that's in my room and the one I built pretty much the close relationship with. Like, he's one of the most fantastic people I've ever had the opportunity to meet. Like, the way he talks and the way he teaches, and you know, he's like almost like a father figure to us. Like, I feel like he teaches D-line and like he controls the room like it's first period, like you're going to class. And then, you know,
Mr. Bell,
the chemistry that he has with Coach Niemann and how they bounce off of each other and how they work together to always put us in, you know, a great position out there on the field. Like, it's definitely special. And, you know, both of them, you know, I've had tough conversations with, like, I've celebrated with, like, you ride the roller coaster when you come to Iowa. So I'm definitely fortunate that I got a chance to build with both of them for the whole time I was at Iowa. And then, you know, Coach Wallace, Coach Parker, you know, all the GAs that help out, like, man, I think they really set the tone for what it means to play defense here. Like, you know, during the off season, you see them, they're visible, like they're, you know, shooting the shit with us. Excuse my language.
You're on the right show.
we're sitting in the All-American room eating with them and everything, but they do such a good job of when it's time to go, like, they're so laser focused. They don't really give you any other choice but to match that level of intensity or they're going to leave you behind. So, those guys, like, you know, they keep it real. I know I can go talk to them. I have went and talked to them about everything other than football, and they've been so receptive. And, you know, every time I go back, it's awesome. Like, I love those guys. And, you know, it's another special thing about Iowa. Like, coming into this back in 2020, like, I knew I was going to have a chance to grow and build connections with everybody on that staff. You know, obviously we've had a couple people come and go, but for the most part, like, 90% of that staff is still exactly the same from when I got on campus. And that's really, really unique and special. And, you know, they've taught me a lot, and, you know, I think it's helped me get to being the football player that I am right now.
As, you know, from a player's perspective, you know, Coach Wallace got that promotion to assistant head coach last year. Has he kind of, has anything changed from your perspective and how he goes about his day-to-day responsibilities or his role with
the team? Yeah, I think, I mean, no discredit to him, but, like, I see, I think that's what makes our coaching staff so unique. Like, everybody, I think they saw that and, like, expected, like, this huge change in his behavior and how he did things. But I just think all of our coaches work so hard. Like, if you were a stranger coming into the building without the assistant coach name tag, you wouldn't be able to tell who was the assistant coach. Like, just the way, you know, they lead us, they coach us, they get us prepared for every possible situation. Like, everybody does their job and then some. You know, obviously it was cool seeing him go out there as the head coach for us this first game this past season. And, you know,
I already forgot about that. Yeah.
Hearing him get the national TV interview. But if he is to be the coach one day, like I trust me, Iowa's going to be in a great spot, and I know he's going to he'll lead the program if that's, you know, what he chooses to do. But you know, I know he loves coaching the LBs and you know, spend the majority of his time working with defense. But like I said, we could have put that assistant coach tag on anybody. Like, all of our coaches are more than deserving of that, and I think that's what makes it cool.
How does Seth Wallace pregame speech compare to a Kirk Ferentz pregame speech?
a lot more cursing. But you know, the message is consistent.
Get your pads down.
Yeah, I think he's himself, and I think, you know, him, Coach Parker, like all those coaches, like they're not going to change for anybody, and that's really cool. So I think that's why it flowed so well when he had to step in for that week or so. He wasn't worried about me and Coach Ferentz. He wasn't worried about being anybody but himself, and he excelled. Like, he did a really good job, and we were definitely happy for him. We had a lot of water bottles being thrown around after that win. So I know he enjoyed it, and you know, like I said, he's definitely earned it.
He is 1-0.
Undefeated.
I'm gonna let Grant hop in here with his question. I'm sure he's got a couple burning. He's known for the great questions. I don't want to hype him up too much, but I have one more. I'm always curious what these last couple months have been like prepping for the NFL, because Kevin and I will go to our grave saying that this was the best 3-4 months of our life. Now it was highlighted by that spring of 2018. Our draft prep was also the spring that Fortnite was at its peak popularity. So bro, we would wake up late, go train at like 9:30, 10 o'clock, whatever it was, come home, eat lunch, and then either play Fortnite or watch Netflix for like 10 hours.
Yeah.
And then wake up and do it again the next day. And that was the same thing for like 3 or 4 months in a row. What's it been like training for the league and doing this process?
It's literally what you just said. So I've been training up in Minnesota. It's a spot called Training House right outside of Minneapolis.
Okay.
Shout out Bill Well and Eric Perkins and my crew up there. Love you guys. But yeah, I've been up there. Cold as heck. Like, I think it gets cold here, but it's like that dry cold up there where that air is just, it just flows right through you, it feels like. But yeah, so typical schedule. I normally wake up around 6:30. Like, I have my dog up there with me. Take him outside, let him use the bathroom. First workout is like, we rotated, so we did like 40 day, and then we did like COD, so 5-to-5 L drill. And then Monday would be leg day, Tuesday upper body, and then same vice versa. So 7:30 to about 9 was the first workout. Get off our feet for a little bit. The facility had everything, PT, athletic trainers. We had like full recovery room. We had Pilates studio, like food, all kind of stuff. So Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, we'd have like position work. So that was normally like around 10:30 or 11 for about an hour or so. And then 12:30, we would lift. So like I said, it just depends what the day was, be lower body, upper body. So then I normally get out of there around like 3 or so, take my meals home, and then, yeah, like you said, either YouTube, playing the game, watching Netflix, like sitting there with my dog, like about 9-10 o'clock, lay down, go to sleep, wake up, do it all over again. So, but our schedule was cool. Like Wednesdays was like an active recovery kind of day. So we had like Pilates, we did boxing, we did all kinds of mobility stuff. Saturdays we'd have a pool workout. But yeah, I mean, it's
no school.
Yeah, no school for sure. That's so nice. But we had a couple grad student guys. From because we had guys from SDSU, NDSU, a bunch of Minnesota guys. And I don't want to forget anybody. Rutgers O lineman, Connecticut O lineman. Sorry guys, if you see this, I'm sorry if I'm.
They won't. We're not that important.
But Yeah, so we had a fun group of guys. The trainers actually said we were like the closest group that they've had. so it was,
that's good.
And they definitely made it worth coming into the building every day and you know, putting in the hard work. But yeah, like you said, it was definitely monotonous. A lot of times where you're just staring at the wall, just trying to kill time and until the next workout. But hey, that's, you know, if you want to be great, like, greatness is boring. So you gotta stick to it and you know, do what you gotta do to get what you want.
I'm curious if you talked to any of the SDSU guys about our incoming transfer at quarterback.
Yeah, so there's two big topics of discussion with them. They love to live in woulda, coulda, shouldas, referring to our 2022 game with them.
Oh, sure.
but, you know.
All-timer, by the way.
Literally, that's what I'm saying. But it's like, I was out there, and it's like being out there, like, yes, the score was closer than what it should have been, but there was no pressure.
Like, they weren't scoring. they weren't going anywhere.
We weren't worried about them scoring, but their comeback is like, it wasn't our best game. Well, I'm like, it wasn't our best game. It was far from our best game either. Yeah, so yeah. Touche. But yeah, they Jared DePriest, Adam Bach, D lineman and linebacker, like they had nothing but great stuff to say about Mark. And you know, I got to send Mark a little encouraging video from Jared's Snapchat. So and then I got to meet him here before Pro Day too. So it seems like a great guy. Obviously his resume speaks for itself. So you know, I'm obviously excited to get him here, and you know, it'll be a fun little competition between, you know, him and Sully to see who can lead us out there this fall.
Hell yeah. It'll be exciting. G-Bone, what do you got?
Hey, well, Deontay, this is we were talking about it earlier. I know you love basketball or not. We don't get a lot of hoop stock on here, so I just wanted to talk some NBA with you for a little bit.
I love talking. I don't know if you guys see my Twitter or not, but I got it
right here. Is why I wanted to ask real quick.
get my name out there. So I love talking hoops. Let's do it.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so you're a Laker fan, it appears, right? So I'm from Colorado, so I'm a Nuggets fan. So I have my own opinions about the Lakers and whatnot. But okay. Starting with you're a little bit upset at LeBron right now. You're not loving what's going on. Did you not like the Bronversation on Pat McAfee? You didn't like it.
I just think I see both sides of the argument. It's like, on one hand, from LeBron's perspective, like, you look at, like, I know he probably tries really hard to separate son from teammate, sure. But it's like, at the end of the day, if something pops off, like, that's my son, but first and foremost for anything. So I definitely get it. Like, you turn on TV, and dating back to even before he made his college decision, like, before he had to deal with all the hard stuff, people were talking and giving their two cents about what he could be, this and that. So I get you want to, like, kind of shield him from that and alleviate some of that from him. But, you know, on the flip side, LeBron, when you come out and say before your son's declared for the draft, he's better than half the dudes in the league, and like, if you want me, draft my son, like, I'll come wherever, just draft my son, blah, blah, blah. Like, you're inviting negative attention if he doesn't pan out to be what you claim, which is, again, you're a dad, like, you're supposed to hype up your kids, like, regardless of what they're doing. But I think you also have to be ready for the repercussions just in case they aren't at that level right away. So I think the approaching Stephen A at the game, like, in the middle of a game, like, I think that was a bit immature. But at the end of the day, like, that's LeBron. Like, when you get LeBron, you get cameras, you get media, you get attention, you get that type of stuff. Like, and he's not dumb. Like, he's calculated. Like, everything he does, I feel like, has a meaning to it. You know, but I also understand Stephen A's side, like, coming out, because, you know, at the end of the day, he felt like somebody was trying to come for his reputation. And, like, if anybody felt that way, like, you would step up and say something. So the LeBron conversation, I didn't like him calling out Wendy. Like, because I'm
I thought that was, I thought that was really weird.
Yeah, I tune in to like First Take and like back when Skip and Shannon Undisputed was a thing. Like, I watched that every morning. Like, so I'm not, when I tweet, I'm not just a guy that's like putting out falls in. Like, I'm actually tuned in and paying attention and doing my own research. So I thought that was kind of bogus. Because I like Wendy, and like, I think these dudes forget, like, these people have jobs for a reason. Like, they're not, they didn't make it to where they are just by making stuff up. Like, you know, there's a reason.
Wendy's got a great reputation.
That's what I'm saying. There's a reason why they report the stuff they report when they report it. And then when it comes out, it's normally true. You know what I mean? So,
and if anything, Wendy is spinning stuff for LeBron.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he's one of his biggest supporters. And I think just getting caught up in this back and forth, like, LeBron hasn't hit a three. I don't know. I couldn't watch the game last night because I was at, like, a little birthday party thing, plus March Madness was on. But before last night, I don't think LeBron hit a three in, like, four games. But, like, you're doing sit-downs and stuff, like, and you're – throwing lazy passes, like giving up wide open threes. It's like, yeah, I was a bit frustrated, but at the end of the day, it's LeBron, so we know he can turn it on whenever he wants to. So I'm just hoping he's getting it all out now, so come April we can make this playoff push and go get the ring.
Yeah. No, I like you saying too, and you're tweeting out the NBA takes that you're like tuning into the stuff, because it's actually the opposite of what I do. I just throw out random stuff until something sticks with no research done at all. So I appreciate you being upfront and honest about that. I asked we had Joe Evans on here like a year ago. I know he's a big Laker fan too. So I was curious, do you feel like bubble championship was a little bit Mickey Mouse? Do we agree on that? Just like a tad bit. I'm not saying 100%, just a little. Just a little bit.
I don't agree, one, because a lot of people like to use that to discredit LeBron specifically. I feel like, and stay with me, if that was any other team that would have won that championship, it would have been celebrated just like every other championship.
100% correct. I have no doubt.
If it was a LeBron-attached team, I feel like it gets torn down. But I'm like, dude, every other team got the same, what, like six month break. Like, every other team had to stay on campus every day.
What's his name? Who went to Magic City.
Oh, yeah, the Clippers. Every other team had to eat the box meals or whatever they were getting. Every other team had the same testing protocol. Every other team played every other day. Like, I don't understand how he gets discredited for that, but I mean, if you think about it, that's like the purest form of hoops. Like, no fans, no travel. True. You're just at an AAU tournament pretty much for a couple months, like hooping with your boys. Like, I mean, people can take credit away from it all I want to, but you know, that's as great as LeBron's life is, that's the part that sucks. Like, he can't win. Yeah, if he loses, how did he lose with no fans and no travel? But then when he wins, look at the circumstances. Like, that was an easy form. Like, he got a break, didn't have to travel, all that stuff. So it is what it is, but it counts in my book just like every other time.
No, and then I mean, I agree that, like, I'm not even really a LeBron hitter. It's kind of a bit. I'm just like giving LeBron crap. And I don't know how it came to be. That's just what I've always done. But, like, if the Magic won that championship, for some reason, I would have said it was probably the greatest championship ever. But because it was, or even like the Nuggets got to the conference finals that year, especially if it was the Nuggets, I would have said it's probably the greatest run anyone's ever had if it was in the bubble. But because it was LeBron, I have to push my own agenda on there.
Makes sense.
But I'm curious too. Who you got winning MVP this year?
MVP.
That's the big debate going on right now.
It's really tough because.
And I will not take it personally. If you know,
it's tough because, like, I played. I'm only 6'3". I played 1 through 5, but like my main position, I played in the post. So I get, like, Jokic is unreal. Like, he's hands down, like, head and shoulders above anybody else on the planet right now. Like, he's easily the best player in the world. Like, as a center, like, averaging what, like 32, like 11 rebounds and like 11 assists. Like, I've never seen anybody like him, but you know, it just depends on what they're going to use for the criteria. Like, if you want to give it to the best player, then LeBron should have like 12 MVP trophies. Michael Jordan should have like 10, 11, 12 MVP trophies. Kobe should have like 7, 8, 9, 10 MVP trophies. But, you know, look at Shea and, you know, building off of what he did last year, like he's making last year look like it was a down season compared to what he's doing this year. And
yeah,
he's got them in first. I think they have the best record in the league now, because I think the Cavs have lost like three or four straight. Like, I think it's his award to lose. I think it'll be close. I don't see an NFL MVP situation happening where, like, everybody thinks it's one person and it comes out being another. But I think Shea's definitely earned it. Sure. And, but, yeah, Jokic is like, right there. But if I had to vote today, I'd give it to Shea.
No, even a Nuggets fan, I expect Shea to win the award. Like, I think he's going to end up winning it.
I was up in Minnesota, and I went to watch when they played up here right before All-Star break. And it's like, that dude makes the game look so simple. Like, he's just out there jogging, just moving through space, like, wherever he wants to. And you look up, and it doesn't even seem like it, but you look up, he's got 40 points. And there's still like 8 minutes left in the game. It's like some dudes make the game look so easy. Like, sure, you got guys like Jason Tatum. He gets a lot of hate, but he is arguably like the top five player in this league. Like, I don't understand why people hate on him and disrespect his game. But, like, you know, I love watching the NBA. Like, my favorite player right now is Steph Curry. I love watching him play. But, you know, I'm a Laker fan. Kobe's my guy.
Yeah.
So when it comes down to it, like, I want to see the Lakers raise the Larry OB.
Yeah. So then my last thing then here before we let you go is, you mentioned Kobe guy, you like Steph. I just want to hear your all-time starting five. And it doesn't have to be like, oh, I think this guy's good. It's just like, if you had to pick a starting five. Like, who are just – these are Deontay Craig's guys. Starting five.
Starting five.
If you want, and I'll allow you to have a six man if it gets really
contentious. Okay, yeah, thank you for that. I'm going Steph at the point.
Okay.
Steph at the point. I'm going Kobe at the two.
Okay, that's good. If you're debating putting Scalabrine in there, I'd say. embrace.
If he doesn't use Dirk Nowitzki, I'm going to.
Yeah, embrace
those. Point.
Yeah. Kobe at the two. I'm going Bron at the three.
Okay. Reasonable.
At the four, this might surprise you, but I'm going Dr. J.
Oh, I did not expect that at all.
And then at the five, I'm going Shaq. Am I sixth man? Oh, God, this is tough.
Yo, you're going to do it?
I haven't even named LeBron or MJ yet.
Did you just say LeBron
at three?
Said LeBron at three. Okay, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So
probably should put Michael Jordan at the six.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Bring him off the bench at least.
Okay, you really like.
Okay, wait. Go back. So I'm going Steph, Kobe, LeBron.
This will heavily this is all the NFL coaches are watching this, by the way.
This determines if you get drafted or not.
Steph, Kobe, LeBron.
Okay.
I have to put Shaq. Like, Shaq's the most dominant big man. I have to put him. And then okay. I'm hate me, but I'm going Wilt at the five. Wilt Chamberlain, okay. And then Jordan's my sixth man. I always say that because I feel like Jordan and Kobe can be interchangeable. But I'm a Kobe guy, so I'm giving him the nod.
Okay. There we go. I can tell that really pains you,
Kevin, a lot.
It pains me leaving MJ out the starting five, but, like, come on, I got shooting with Steph and the facility. Well,
you got it all. Those guys are like top.
Kobe got that killer instinct. I got LeBron, who can also run point, rebound, facilitate, defend. Shaq, you get it to him down low, like, nobody can guard him. He's rebounding everything. And then Wilt is literally a cheat code. Like, I can pencil in 40 and 20.
Do you think the 100-point game's real?
Still no footage of the 100-point game, you know?
I said, do you think it's real?
I don't think it's real, because I find it crazy that we can find footage of some of the stuff that comes out on social media, but nobody has footage of the 100-point game. We have is a picture. So
here's what I know, is that over the last 70 minutes, Deontay has not stopped smiling this entire time, and I can feel the infectious energy. I think any team – I can't imagine he wasn't a pleasure to be around for the last 5 years in Iowa City, and I think any team that gets this guy in a couple of months is going to be pretty happy they did. Locker room, dude. And I also, after the last 10 minutes of conversation, Deontay, cannot wait for you to be on some NBA talk show someday – or maybe have your own basketball podcast, because I think you'd do well there too.
No, I appreciate that. That's the plan. That's why after my playing days are over, I wanna get into that type of stuff. So I graduated with sports studies degree, and I minored in communications and media management. So
there you go.
Like I said, I look up to guys like Stephen A. and Shannon Sharpe, and you know Charles Barkley and Shaq, and I love that they
that CNC group.
Took it from the playing field, and now they're having success in the other realm too. So, plus I want to be an advocate, you know, for the players and share my experience and, you know, do what I can to help grow the game. So,
well, I think the listeners will have enjoyed this. We did exactly what we wanted to do, to tell more of your story, and more about who you are. Thank you so much for giving us the time, man. It was a pleasure. We wish you the best of luck in the next couple months, big time.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks for being patient with me. And, you know, still.
Oh, you're good.
Thank you.
You're good. Shout out to Eagle Point Solar and the Iowa Egg Council once again for sponsoring the show this month. We'll be back again in a few days with another episode. Until then, eat your eggs. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons, where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.